Hope you got your Bible this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in the New Testament. Ephesians 4 and 2 Timothy 4. Give you time to find it a little bit. 2 Timothy 4 and Ephesians 4. We're going to read from Ephesians first of all. Ephesians 4 and look down at verse 29. He's talking to people that's Christians. That's what he's telling the Christians now. So this is for Christians, folks. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, even Christians can grieve the Holy Spirit by letting improper talk come out of our mouth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's the key verse. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. We had that in our sermon last week, didn't we? How many times did Jesus say you were supposed to forgive people? 490 times. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter said he thought he could get by a lot less than that, but the Lord said, no. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave you. You ought to forgive others, he said. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee, verse 1, therefore, before the Lord, talking to Christians, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. And may God bless his word to our hearts. And loving God, we thank you for the word of God, for the written word, and we praise you for the living word who came and was a sacrifice upon a cross for our sins, that we could be forgiven of all our sins, and that by his blood we are made acceptable to God. Not by anything we do, but by his blood we are made acceptable to a holy God, who has said he's going to receive us into his presence to spend eternity with him, and let us enjoy his glory and his loving face. Help me, Lord. I'm a little preacher, Lord. Help me. Use me. And I thank you in Jesus' name for the privilege to preach the word. Amen. You know, our Sunday school lesson has also dealt with what I'm going to be talking about today. Also, our government has the same problem. It's an attitude problem. An attitude problem. See, the Jews in our Sunday school lesson had an attitude problem. And God didn't like it. So God dealt bitterly with them. Look at our government today. How they are against God. They're against the Bible. They're against Christians. We are unwanted. And that's more and more becoming relevant. Our values, our mores are unaccepted. So the government's got an attitude problem. The government's attitude now is do as we say, as they push for socialism in this country that was based on the Word of God. As we think about attitude today, let's consider this thought. I found this somewhere and I thought it was very fitting. When you feel like criticizing or complaining about someone, think of these three questions. Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? Do I need to say it? Does it need to be said by me right now? So we got to watch our attitude and what we say. The dictionary says about attitude, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Example, are you a prejudiced person? Think about it. Are you a judgmental person? Are you a know-it-all person? In psychology, an attitude refers to a set of emotions, beliefs, and behaviors towards a particular object, person, thing, or event. Attitudes are often the result of experience or upbringing, and they can have a powerful influence on our behavior. That's one of the problems in our country today is people's upbringing. They didn't have proper upbringing training. And we really got it today because God is taken out of the schools. The parents today are not living together. Children are run from one place or down the street or involved in this and into that. And we've just got a mess in our country today. People's attitude. They don't believe in Christian principles. They don't believe in living by the Word of God. And we've just got a mess in our country today. Just well to face the truth, tell the truth. When a person is saved, listen to me today. When a person is saved, you say you're saved, they should have a different attitude about life than before. Something should have happened in your thinking process if you're saved. Now, I know we don't start off when we're saved as a spiritual giant. I understand that, church. But at least there should be something in us that makes us want to please the Lord. Amen? The best thing for a proper attitude is being raised in a Christian environment. That would really help our country, but we're not going to have that, not now. Secondly, our school should be promoting proper subjects of moral ethics. Our school should be teaching history, literature, geography, math, civics, instead of trying to find out what one sex wants to be. That's what they're up to now. Or kill babies up to the time they're being born. Or that there's no God. We just come here over billions of years ago. What nonsense, folks. Attitude. Everywhere you look, attitude is out of place because you got off center from what this book teaches about attitude. Our schools, no matter how low the grades up to the highest learning schools, should be promoting what is morally true, but they're not. Our professors are atheists or scoffers. By the way, our schools are not promoting patriotism anymore. Did y'all know that? They hate the flag. A lot of them. Too many of our schools and learning centers have shifted their view to the liberal side, so they scoff at God and the Bible. There ain't nothing to that book there. Well, I'll tell you what. Just wait around a little while and find out. You'll find out. They scoff at the Bible. And the atheists who say there is no God have destroyed truth, enabling the destroying of the foundation of this country. I don't know how much longer this country will survive. I just don't know. I tell you, folks, I believe the Lord can come anytime myself. So today we are producing a generation of people whose attitude is not pleasing God. And God's going to finally come when Jesus gets to church. He's going to fix some attitudes up good. People hating one another is getting out of hand. Me and Carl Ray was talking a while ago. When you're out on the highway driving, you better be careful to not intimidate someone, because they'll pull a gun on you riding down the road. Attitude. And what provoked me to write this sermon that I've been working on a month or so ago, as I was sitting at a stoplight, this car came in front of me and pulled and turned and went up the road behind me. And the look on this guy's face said to me, he's got an attitude problem. You could see it in it all over him. And you can see it in him. Attitude. My attitude ain't right. Folks, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, we better watch your attitude. We'll be different. Because God give us a new nature. And we need to feed that new nature, the Word of God. The government ought to support me or help me. That's what people think today. All those ships out yonder in California in the ocean, sitting out there, they can't get people to unload the supplies off of them. I got this email this week from Charlotte, where we get supplies from. And the lady told me, said, bear with us. We're finding it hard to get our supplies, and prices are going sky high. Attitudes with people. I don't have to work. The government's sending me a check. And I just hate to go to the grocery store the first of the month. You can't hardly get in there. Everybody's got a check. Well, actually, they got that little card. They're feeding the cards of the government. When I was born on a tenant farm, no one gave us anything. They didn't give us nothing. That ain't good sounding English, but we still got nothing. I tell you, God gave us everything we needed. He gave us food, clothing. Gave us plenty of work to do, didn't he, Junior, out in that field. We had plenty of work 6 days a week. God said in his word in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he said, if you won't work, don't you eat either. Somebody's going to be caught up, aren't they? Think about all these people who will not work and who are able to work. I've always loved to work. I never had any problem about working. Think about all of these people who are coming to our country to freeload on us. There's 400,000 on the way now. Think about all those who are having children out of wedlock and the men not supporting their children. Boy, it's a common thing today. Common. And these pregnant girls think the government should take care of them. Our country is drowning in sin, church. The attitude of these people is to take advantage of all they can to get what they want. None want to face up to their sin, men or women. None of them seem to realize they're going to stand before the judge of the earth. They think they can talk God into their point of view. You can't get out of it. You're going to face your maker, every one of us. And us that's been saved, it's going to be a record of all our words, thoughts, deeds, attitudes that we've committed since salvation. You got to face it. That will determine if you get a reward or not. Many people think they're going to make a deal with God. Well, many people think there is no God to start with. Our country is spoiled by liberal politicians who basically vote by and under the cover they care for people. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're giving out all these goodies, and it's a form of vote buying by the Democrats and others. Yeah, I got you this. You be sure to vote for me. And we got our Congress and Senate and the presidency of the country. It's just shameful. It's shameful, folks. And these people have got up there, they didn't have any money when they got there, and now they're multimillionaires on a salary. I've had a salary, when I worked, I had a salary, I could never get $100 in the bank. Amen? I've had more money since I quit working, though, than I did when I was working. You don't believe it? It's true. God makes a way, don't he? God makes a way. I didn't say I had a whole lot of money. I got $2.98, I know. Our country is spoiled by liberal politicians, and they are attempting to secure their own position of power by giving out goodies. And they have succeeded, church. They have succeeded. My sister was kicked in her head by one of our mules and put in the hospital. She even had to learn to re-walk again. At 16, I was put in the hospital for a bad boil on my hand there. And there's a little scar still there where they had to operate to take it off. Guess who paid the hospital bill back in them days? You think the government paid it, Brother Chapin? My poor old dad had to pay the hospital bill for my sister and for me. The hospital bed back then was, I think it was either $8 or $10. If he were in a room with four. You think that would happen today? I don't care who it is. If they go to that hospital, they ain't got no money, they'll see them. And they may see them ahead of you. If you got money, they may see them before you. Because Ben Fay experienced it the other day. We had no insurance and no government help. Daddy just paid it because he had the money. Amen. He was a tenant farmer. All of us are supposed to seek the will of the Lord our God, church. But it appears most are seeking their own will. And Jesus taught us this. Here's what Jesus taught us, church. That means for me and you. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. That remains, thy will be done in my life. My life. Your life. God, your will, not what I want. It takes us a while. It did me. But that's what God, Jesus told us to pray. Even our churches have attitude problems with some. I believe if the minister is preaching God's word, he ought to. I believe if a minister's not preaching God's word, he ought to be gone fast. I believe if a minister is teaching false doctrine, he ought to be gone fast. But when a minister is honestly preaching and teaching God's word, it is best to listen and pray for him and support. And I was surprised to find that was in our lesson today, Johnny, that you read. Some preachers may stutter like me. He may not be dressed well. He may not look good. We can't help it, can we? But if he's preaching, listen to God's word. I don't have anything to say except what God's word says. I'm just delivering it to you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. If I tell you the truth, it'll bless you. It may hurt. But if you'll listen to it, it'll bless you. But you got to listen. A minister's not perfect. You won't ever meet a perfect minister. You won't ever go to a perfect church. We're all a bunch of sinners getting together, saved by the grace of God. Jesus Christ does not have a perfect church. We're all supposed to be in church to learn how to be a better person and learning the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about all these people that used to be here that's gone? They're not learning about the Lord. They're out of touch with hearing the word. I bet at home they don't read the word. Very few. All of us who are saved have a perfect salvation. But we all have a sin nature. We have to watch that sin nature we got. Everybody's sin nature is not bent the same way. What you might yield to is maybe not be what I would. But whatever it is, you got to watch it. So, all of us, we have a perfect salvation. And we got to watch our attitude and discipline ourselves. All of us as members are responsible to keep it presentable for its good for all of our use. And I'm so tickled that our people out here have always kept our church neat. People doing different things to make it look good, just like we talked about this morning. And Linda was out here, I forget what day it was, cleaning up that trash Johnny put down there. Amen. Amen. We should be willing to accept anyone who comes to learn of the Lord at this church. I don't care who they are. If they come to learn, we should accept them. We've had Puerto Ricans out here. We've had black people out here. We have all these people. We've accepted them. For some reason, they've gone. But we never tried to run anybody off or hurt anybody's feelings. We built this church initially for anybody that would come. I was raised in a church. They didn't like certain people to go there. They just wanted white people. Well, when we built this church, it was open to the community. It still is. The Lord said to his servant, go out into the highways, hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Luke 14:23. This is what we're trying to do as we preach through our radio and our television, as well as the newsletter, and as well as open services like today. I wish we could reach more. I wish people would listen. What's so sad today is that it used to be if you turned the radio on, there weren't but one or two stations you could get. Now you got so many stations, and then they got this new funkle stuff that you can get. I don't know about all those hybrid things that they got now. You can get all kind of programs and all. And people's listening to that. And I pulled up side of a guy the other day, yesterday, I believe it was, and his vehicle he was in was doing like that. His vehicle. You know he weren't listening to Bible time, amen? They weren't listening to Bible time. What's your attitude towards missions as a Christian? What do you think about missions? Do you have a burden for souls? Do you have a concern for missionaries? We, brothers and sisters, we just can't sit still. We got to keep reaching out. We got to keep pressing forward. We can't just give up the ship. We got to keep praying, trying to reach people. Jesus came and spake unto his disciples. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So what can we do? We can pray sincerely for the Lord to use us as a church. I want to challenge you today. Take it upon yourself. Start praying for the Lord to use us as a church. I'm talking about pray. I'm not talking about just say, Lord, use us. I'm talking about praying the Lord use us. We can give a pray that we can support a broader outreach by sacrificing more to reach the unsaved. Pray for God to expand our borders. And mean it. I'm afraid too many of us have forgotten what we're supposed to be doing. We think we just get ready on Sunday, come to church, hear the preacher, go home, and that's it. It don't end there. It's supposed to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm in tune with the Lord, following the word of the Lord. It's not just for the pastor to do that. It's not for the deacon to do it or the Sunday school teacher. It's for you, a believer, to do it, to try to get people saved. Pray for people to be saved. We're all into this together, folks. When you get in a boat, if that boat sinks, you go down together. If the boat gets to the other shore, you get all the rewards of what's on the shore. Amen? There's a song that we used to sing when I was growing up, and I loved that song. I still love it. I love to hear it today. I don't know where we got music for it or not, Brother Junior. The song, It Is Well With My Soul. I want y'all to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. The song is, It Is Well With My Soul. It was written by a Christian lawyer. And his only son died at age 4 in 1871. In 1872, the great Chicago fire wiped out his vast estate made from a successful legal career that he had had. So in 1873, he sent his wife and his four daughters to Europe on a summer trip on the ill-fated SS Villa Havre. Since he had a lot of work to do, he planned to follow them later. The ship sunk, and he lost his four daughters. I'd die if that happened. With his wife being the only survivor. She sent him a famous telegram which simply read, Saved alone. On his return home, his law firm was burnt down. An insurance company refused to pay him. They said it was an act of God. He had no money to pay for his house and no work, and he lost his house. Sound like a Job, doesn't it? Then while sitting and thinking what's happening to him and being a spiritual person, he wrote a song. Whatever, my Lord, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And so, folks, a good attitude will determine your attitude. A good attitude will determine your attitude. This man had lost seemingly everything but his health. When you look at your life, career, job, or family, what do you say? Do you praise God? Do you blame the devil? A good attitude towards God makes him move on your behalf. You see, in our Sunday school lesson, just a good example. Those people of Israel had a bad attitude. They weren't satisfied with what God was giving them. And did you know the manna he was giving to them was so effective and so healthy for their body, they didn't have to go to a restroom, if I can use it that way. They wouldn't have to go because that manna was that beneficial to the body. And yet they wanted something else. Just sit down and think today. God, it is well with my soul. Can you say that today? God, it is well with my soul. I'm thankful I had a peaceful sleep. Did you sleep good last night? Did you have a place to sleep at last night? I'm thankful I'm alive with possibilities. I'm thankful I have a roof over me. I'm thankful I have a job. I'm thankful I have family and friends. I'm thankful that I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, if you've got those things I just mentioned, you're rich. You're rich. You're blessed. And we ought to have a good attitude about how God has taken care of us. And by the way, no matter what you got, you're not taking anything with you. Except your attitude. Be blessed and don't be envious or shocked when others are prospering because you don't know what they've been through to get there. Little is much when God is in it, and it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? Do you have peace with God? Do you enjoy living for the Lord, church? Let me help you a little today. What if God had not sent you a Savior? Let me tell you something by example as I close. The angels of heaven sinned against God, and God did not give them a Savior. And now they're destined for the lake of fire. But God had mercy on me and you and sent us a Savior. What if after this life is over, you died and went to hell to spend eternity in a lake of fire and brimstone? But because he loves you, he's offered to forgive you of all your sins against him and give you eternal life. Think about that, folks, what the Lord has did for you. Realizing what God has done for you should cause a change in mind and your attitude. This life is not about me, it's about him. You should be a thankful person. You should be praising God and desiring to serve him with all of your heart. That's what the Christian life is about. The Christian life, church, is about growing in grace. And as we grow in the years the Lord gives us, we're to be seeing his hand of blessings on us and causing us to want to please him and causing him want to use us to help someone else. Someone else helped us. God wants to use us. And he will if we'll submit to him. Acts 9:5-6, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" That was the reaction of Saul of Tarsus when he met the Lord. He was ready to do anything God wanted. What about me and you, church? We've heard about Jesus Christ. We knew about Jesus Christ. We've said we've trusted Jesus Christ. Lord, what you want me to do? Lord, what you want me to do? It was Saul of Tarsus' first question when he saw the Lord. And the Lord said, "Arise, go to the city, and I'll tell you what I want you to do." That's the way the Lord did. The Lord puts it on our heart what he wants us to do, folks. Now, these people that go around all the time, "The Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that." Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? Lord, the Bible tells us that God speaks to us through Jesus, his word. Amen. I notice a lot of these preachers on TV, "Well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that." He didn't do no such thing. If God talks to you, it's through this book right here. Look how Paul's attitude would change when he met Jesus. The only thing he wanted to do was just burn out for the Lord. Just burn out. Give his all to let others know. What a Savior. What a Savior. So church, let's watch our attitude. Let's stay close to the Lord. Let's stay available for the Lord to use us. And just let's ask the Lord, "Lord, what you have me to do?" God's always got something for everyone that he has saved to do. Every one of us. He don't give every one of us the same job. You could be a prayer warrior for all I know. You're just responsible to ask him what you have me to do. Lord, Lord, help us with our attitudes. The Bible says we're not to think more of ourselves than we ought to think. So help us to walk with humility before the God of all grace. Challenge our hearts, Lord. And in this country where we're living today and things are fastly changing, Lord, help us to be a light to other people. Help us not to conform to their point of view, but to remain steadfast in the faith. Bless the word to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, our altar's open. You can come talk to the Lord. Pour out your heart to the Lord. You got certain needs, certain problems. Come to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. The Lord loves you. I can't tell you